الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى وقال تعالى قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choices blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At any single time in our life, we are enjoying the blessings of Allah ta'ala. We must be conscious of it, and that being the case, we must actually ask Allah ta'ala to give us the ability to recognize these are the blessings of Allah. Nothing from our side, all from Allah. And Allah must give the ability to make shukr and then to use it in a manner that will please Allah Ta'ala. So blessings are so much. If I ask you, you'll say food, water, drink, air, whatever. But the fact that we can see, the fact that we can walk, the fact that we can sit up. Some people can't lie down and sleep anymore because they've got a problem with their bed. So also they've got a problem with their back or they've got a problem with reflux. So now you can't even lie down. Lying down is such a great ni'mat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So you just can't count. You just can't enumerate them. So alhamdulillah, all the blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we started our program last week with the new year. And we remind ourselves that this program on Wednesdays has got to do with a specific theme. And that is the theme of self-purification. And it is not something that just by the way, it forms one of the pillars and the fundamental aspects of the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هو الذي بعث في الأمين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته. Allah sent the prophet. He recites the verses. ويزكيهم, and he purifies them. So this aspect of purification is a very, very important thing. The ayat of the Quran I recited now. Allah says, قد أفلح من زكاها. He has acquired success who has purified the nafs. Another place Allah says, قد أفلح من تزكى. Same thing. That he has acquired success who has verified himself. So when the word falah in Arabic, it means success, and the word fawz, you know, it's a fawza or faza or fawzul azim, it also means success, but they both got different meanings. Falah is that success which will benefit a person in this world and in the year after. So his worldly life also will be right, and his akhirat will also be right. And fawz, fawzul azim, faz or fawza, the Arabic word, it means that he is going to acquire salvation in the hereafter, he will have no problem. So these are the two words. So Allah says, when a person purifies himself, then he has acquired, he will acquire worldly as well as hereafter benefits and blessings. That is a thing to keep in mind. Now, last week we spoke on one aspect that we must have the honesty and the ability to accept our weaknesses. Must know we've got a problem. If you feel then you know that you've got a problem, only then you are going to sort yourself out. If you feel you've got no problem, you're not going to do anything. You are going to just carry on with your life. Now, Allah Ta'ala has made this world such of opposites, you see. They are opposites. Everything is an opposite. So, when it comes to the opposites relating to worldly things, for example, you've got night and you've got day, you've got good and you've got bad, you've got beautiful and you've got ugly and so forth. So, that is as far as the opposites are concerned. So, the same rule of opposites also applies to good and bad, in the sense that something can be good and the same thing can become bad. And this is the system. So we give an example, for example, that a garden, before it's a garden, it's just a piece of land that's covered with bush and shrubs and everything else. That particular garden, that piece of land is then cleaned out and it is fertilized and things are grown. That piece of land becomes good now. And if that same garden now, it's a beautiful garden, is now neglected, then that same garden becomes what it was initially, a rundown grass, weeds, shrubs, and overrun, you don't see the flowers anymore in it. So that is what we are talking, that there is a good thing and there is a bad thing. Same with a building, you can have a very beautiful building. But if that building is not maintained on a regular basis, then that particular building also runs down. You see, they say this in Johannesburg, all the dilapidated buildings that are now run down, people are going to stay in there, hijacking the buildings and squatting and all of that. What happened? There was at one stage a beautiful, beautiful building. You know, we're talking of that. There was that building there in Bears Valley, Ponte. You know what was Ponte at one stage? It was an outstanding building, a beautiful round landmark of Johannesburg. If you drive near Ponte, now you're in a problem. Going into the building is another story. So we did go for Gush many years in Ponte, in the earlier years. It was looking a bit dodgy, you know, but it was all right, because there were a lot of, you know, foreigners and there, even some local people living there. So we used to go for Gush in that building. But we used to feel, hey, you know, we went to Ponte for Gush there. It was like an outstanding building. Now you look at Ponte, same with Carlton Hotel, also Carlton Center. First, hey, Carlton Center. Now Carlton Center, you never look at it two times. So that time, so that is why the buildings, they get run down. So what we are saying as an example is that if things are neglected, and from good, it goes to bad. And that is how it is with regard to human beings also. That we at all times are vulnerable to becoming bad. In other words, to become afflicted with negative qualities. This can be physically as well as spiritually. Physically in the sense that we can develop a sickness. We were good. We went into the wrong environment, we picked up a bug, or there was something not right in the environment, or in the atmosphere, or we ate something, or whatever it is that caused now our condition to become bad. If not that, with age, what happens? The body starts undergoing different kind of a change. So human beings are also vulnerable and disposed to becoming from good to bad. And if you're not careful, then they see what happens. That's physically now we're talking about, right? And then when we talk of the same human thing when it comes to spiritually, then also, and this is what the whole theme of this Wednesday night program is, that at all times we must keep an eye on our spiritual progress. If we don't keep an eye on our spiritual progress, we will know, and then we'll be going worse and worse and worse. So if we first of all feel that there is something wrong, like we mentioned last week, then you must admit, I've got a problem. Somebody tells you, you know, you're very proud. Say, no, me, I'm not proud. So you're very arrogant. Say, no, me, I'm not arrogant. So if somebody tells us that, and if you must look at ourselves, why did the man say I'm arrogant? Why I'm proud? No? The man said, you're full of jealousy. So, no, me, I'm not jealous. So you must look at it. Sometimes when somebody got a nice blessing and starts burning us up also and wish he mustn't have it, that's jealousy. So there are various ways in actually finding out. So if a person knows he got the sickness or spiritual illness, then he must make an effort of trying to sort it out. How is he going to get it? Like, so example, again, going to material and physical things, when a person needs to clean it out, he goes to the experts. So when we have this masjid carpets cleaned out, who you call? The domestic. You call the carpet cleaners. They come and they sort it out. They make carpet look so nice because they got the proper, you know, chemicals and the method and all the rest of that. So when it comes to the carpets, our cars, we take them to the garage regularly for servicing and that, right? So that is another example we can give. And in every field, for example, even today they were cutting grass there. So that has to be cleaned out. So anywhere and everywhere at all times, we have to clean out our physical situation. If we don't, then we are going to be sitting with this particular problem that we are going to get it worse and worse and worse. Now coming back again to the spiritual self, a person, he does not know where and how he's doing things. He might be doing things in a manner that is harming his spirituality, but he doesn't know about it. But he's got all kinds of spiritual illnesses and sicknesses in him. So he needs to clean himself out, and he has to go to the experts. And must remember one thing, that in the earlier years, when there was dirt on anything, they used to take soap and clean it and just sort it out. Now, when you got a stain on your carpet, you use clean green and you use, I don't know what type of name, the dirt is still there sometimes, right? So then they say you must call an expert, and they got something and that whole thing just disappears, the dirt. So that was the dirt of that time. The same way, the spiritual dirt of this time is also such, you can't just do something light and get it cleaned up. No, you have to use some different kind of method, go to those specialists and experts who can identify. Now the immorality that we have, for example, the hatred that we have, the jealousy, to us, these were all things, but the extent that we have it now, it is just beyond understanding, beyond, I mean, look at the immorality and the evil that people are exposed to, and not only exposed, they are doing it. So all these particular things are now the fitnas and the things of the spiritual illness of this time, and therefore it needs to be kept even more checked than any time before. So we have to keep an eye all the time on these particular things. Therefore, when it comes to the purification of the self and of the nafs, then we must actually at all times keep an eye on ourselves and then find out from the pious mashayikh. Now, sometimes people say we do mashayikh around here. You know, mashayikh means the spiritual guides, you know, the sheikh, as we say, the murshid. So who do we go to? So you find out, if it's not there, our ulama say, then you must get literature of the pious people and read their books. So there you will find things also, right? That is like being in their company. So we're talking of being, going into the company of the pious mashayikh, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed with spiritual, you know, foresight, where they can then identify the problem, they can diagnose the problem in each and every person, and they can say, this person, yeah, he's got this problem, this person got this problem, and in this way they are able to then give a person a proper treatment. So therefore, in this way, they will address the problems that are in a person. And in the olden days, people used to undertake long, long journeys to do what? One is to just, we had to go study one hadith, to get the sunnah of one hadith. People used to undertake journeys, not for that, but to go in the company of some great buzruk they had heard. So if you read the story of the mashayikh, who became mashayikh before they went, they traveled from here to there. We did more of our ulama in the Indo-Pak or in what you call the Southeast Asia, Afghanistan, all these places. This man was here and he traveled so far to just go and sit in the company of a particular sheikh and to benefit from him and then to get himself spiritually sorted out. So how much of worry the person must have had in his heart that I need to purify myself, and therefore in where and where he went to look for, because they found out there was a sheikh in some particular place. And Allah Ta'ala put those people in different parts of the world. Some people were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to different places. You go to Ajmer Sharif, for example. The Ajmer Sharif was a place in the desert. There was nothing happening there. Who went there? Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayhi. Right? He was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same with lots of other buzrugs and mashayikh. Tabligh Jamaat. There was a normal small little masjid there in Delhi. Now we call it the Merkaz. Allah Ta'ala inspired Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi to be there and to do. Today you find the work of Jamaat. Anywhere in the world you go, you have to dodge and duck because they're going to catch you and take you away for 40 days. MashaAllah. So that is it. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi went to settle down in Madina Munawwara. He was done with everything. He had a dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, go back. The same dream is mentioned with regard to Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayhi. Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya, one of them. That you go to that place and you... So Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, go back. You have to do work there. There's going to be work taken from you. Let's go. So he tells it, I can't do any work. What can I do? So he says, this is in the Kitab of Hazrat's life story. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you weren't told to go do it. It was told that work will be taken from you. So you see, work taken and going to is two different things. Alhamdulillah, he came there, and what fikr and what sacrifice, it's beyond us to understand. And there was nobody with him, and it just started slowly, slowly. And today we see, you know, how things have flourished. So Allah Ta'ala has made means of the purification and the reformation of people. That's where there's Jamaat, where there's a Khanqa, where they choose every other way it might be possible. So people undertook long, long journeys and they went and they sat in the company. Now when you go sit in the company of a sheikh, our sheikh, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah, used to say, you're just sitting in the company of a sheikh and he says nothing. But just in the company, they've got such powerful spirituality in them that it radiates on the people that are there. They are aware of who is there also. This is from Allah Ta'ala's side. Like you sit in the car, you sit in a heat, in front of a heater or in front of an aircon. The thing is spreading there. You don't have to go put your whole head into the heater or in the fireplace. You sit there nearby, it will give you the heat. So that is also. Some people used to come in the company of the sheikh. Every sheikh had his own approach of purifying people. So some were just told, you come and you sit quietly. You don't do anything. And you might just sit and reflect. The sheikh will then, with his tawajjuh, it is called spiritual and divine attention, he will then work on the people. So one fellow was sitting next to one sheikh one day on the same thing. He found it quite strange, you know. He must just come and sit quietly. Yeah. So he's seeing the eye, what kind of a sheikh this is. He's thinking. Hey man, how can we're not giving no lecture, he's not giving no bayan, he's not giving any zikr, nothing. We're just sitting quietly. So the sheikh gave him one shot. What are you thinking? you think that you are here for purification, it has been done. So this was how the, and this is how Allah Ta'ala, it's called ilqa. Ilqa means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into the heart of the Shaykh different people's conditions. You know, when we were studying back in Deoband many years ago, we used to go to Jalalabad, very, very great Shaykh, the Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh. Right? Very pious person, like, you know, so they used to call him saint. The students used to call him saint. He was really a saint. So many times we had that experience. So a lot of people, let's say we used to go visit Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, and we're sitting in his majlis. So one used to have every Friday a majlis, that all the people. And every day after Asr also used to have a majlis. And then they said, today we know we're going to ask Hazrat this year. They go to sit down. And before they ask Hazrat, he's busy talking. He said, we came for this question here. So it's called, it's not that they know the answer, but Allah Ta'ala put something in there. So you want to go ask him some masla, or you want to tell him something. And in his talk, when he starts talking, we say, I got the answer. Sometimes people are, we're not buzruks or anything, right? But if you give a Juma bayan, they say, Mara, it was looking like you were talking to me. I say, I don't know what I was talking. I didn't feel talking to myself. But in any case, so Allah Ta'ala puts it sometimes that certain people sit with sincerity, and then that particular thing, it goes into the mouth of the Shaykh and it comes off from there. So this is what happens. You sit in the company of a Shaykh, and this will help a person to purify and rectify himself. So one is, I told you, to sit quiet. One is, they give the people a lot of zikrs to make. Right? Lots of zikrs. قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. That person is a quiet purification, success. What? وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ. He made a zikr of the name of his Rabb. So zikr, they give them so many zikrs to make. Others, they give them, well, other what you call spiritual exercises. You know, must read so many nafil namazes, and they must read so many sajdas, they must read like this. And like. So they put them through the mill, they grind them. So each one got his own way. Like some sheikhs say, you came here to my khanqa, you must just sit alone there in that corner there. Or in your room now, what? Because by not interacting and with people, you are not being vulnerable, or you're not being exposed to their weaknesses. So you talk less, you eat less, you meet less, and all of that, it clears your mind out. Because the more we meet with people, the more we start judging them, the more we find all kinds of things about them. So we affect ourselves. So in any case, the mashayikh used to have different kinds of ways, and they used to give different ibadat and so forth to the people. And in this way, you find the people then came right now. I just give you one quick, one we're supposed to finish now, right? Just one or two examples of how the mashayikh made islah of the people. So there was a very great sheikh, and he was making islah of the people, right? Then there was one murid who came to him, right? And he did whatever he qualified. So the sheikh told him, now you go in a certain part of the world and you start doing the same thing there. When the sheikh, the original sheikh, passed away, his son wanted to also make islah of himself. He wanted to purify himself. But now his father passed away. Somebody told him, a certain murid of your father is also a sheikh, you go to him, you go to him and inshallah he'll make your islah, he'll purify you, he'll clean you out. So this son went very far, he traveled until he came to that particular place where his father's murid was sitting there. When they say, I'm so and so, the son of so and so. So when this murid heard, he got him, he started crying. He said, you the son of my sheikh. He made so much ikram and respected him and all of that. Obviously, because you know, sometimes you got to respect. The other day, one fellow came in Jamaat here, last year. So, after one or two namazes, he came, he greeted me, hugged me. I say, I was like surprised. He says, your ancestral village in India is Tonk. My ustad who taught me in Gujarat came from Tonk. So you got that relationship, and he came to hug me for that. So this is something strange. I couldn't understand what it was, right? But in any case, somehow people show that kind of respect. So in any case, this murid was now a sheikh. He told his son, yeah, you know, you came and he made ikram. He told all the people, this is the son of my sheikh. And this, after a few days, he says, why you came? He said, no, I came to make spiritual purification at your feet because my father has passed away and now I've been directed to you. He said, oh, okay, no problem. You must stay here and you'll do it. What must I do? You see, tomorrow, you know where all those sheep are grazing and all of the in that kraal there. In that, you must go there and you must graze them and you must clean up all the dirt there. I see, I got a shock. I mean, you come to a sheikh, he's going to tell me zikr, this one sends you to go and clean up the kraal there. He pulled up his face, but he went. He was not sure what he was doing. And the Sheikh was watching him. After a few days, the idea was to humble him, because this man thought, I'm a son of a Hazrat, you know. So he had to be brought down. He had a lot of something in him. Though he came to purify, but he came for the good intention. After a few days, the Hazrat told one of his murids, go and knock this guy down in the dirt where he's busy cleaning up. Just make it like a spaza accident. So he went and he did it. The man got cross. He started swearing. So the Sheikh said, this guy still hasn't come down. In any case, after a few months, he called him. He says, okay, now you must clean all the toilets here of the Khanqa. When the people, now, those toilets were not like our flush, you understand? You people haven't used those toilets. In the old days, maybe we had bucket system, but in India, it was even worse than that. We studied, we saw those toilets, right? We used to call them international toilets. You don't want to know, right? We'll go into the details, right? Yeah, right, so in any case, you must clean the toilets. So in other words, the waste matter every day, you must pick it up, you must clean it and throw it away. Now this guy is doing it. Now the Sheikh is noticing this guy is coming a bit more down, doing all this work, his approach to the people and all of that. Then one day he told one of the guys that when he is, you must take some of the waste matter in the dirt when he's walking, must just make like, you know, again, accident and throw it on him. So he threw it on him. Now Sheikh is watching again. This guy cleaned himself. He told the guy, hey, make me maaf, I'm sorry, man. I hope you... He's now, instead of that guy apologizing, he's a person, make me maaf, you know, I hope you... Then the Sheikh called him and said, okay, now clean yourself up. I now give you khilafat, because you have now reached a high position, because you have taken all the pride out of your heart. So they take it out in different ways. You see, some of them will say, you must read a certain name of Allah. Some will say, you must make this zikr. Some will say, do this. Some will say, don't do that. But this is the way of Islam. With a lot of other incidents, beautiful ones, on this particular case here, but it's time for our zikr now. So, inshallah, we'll read for another time. But what we are saying is that we must identify our sickness when we know it's there. Then we go for a checkup. Many of us, including myself, once a year, we go to our cardiologist to do a general checkup. And then he says, no, okay, you're fine. No, you need a stent or whatever it is. You must do more exercise, all these things. Why we go? Nowadays, a fellow, you know, he says, hey, you know, why you got white spots on your fingernails, man? You better go see a doctor, because that's an indication of some medical or some health condition. Did you know that? They say, you look at that. So if a small white spot shows that you've got a fault, and that's affecting your health, how many dirty spots we got on us in our amal and our akhlaq that we don't need to clear it up? So we have to clean up ourselves in whichever way it might be. The Sheikh can see in different ways what is needed. Other day I met my brother, had some work to do, my car sorted out. So he started telling about, you must be, you know, it's called iridology. You know what that, Kasim Bhai? They look into your eyeballs, right? And then they tell you, you know what, you got this problem, this problem, that problem. Now you say, yeah, the doctor puts stethoscope in machine, this guy looks at your eyes. You knew about that one, Hafizab knows about it. So he told me the name of that person. So he gave me a few examples. He said my grandson was having some issues, so we took him to this doctor. Yeah, he's in PE, by the way. And we didn't even go. We just sent him the picture with the email. And then he looked. He says, first of all, your grandson was born premature, at least 4 weeks before his time. So he said, yeah, he was. He said, number two is he's got a problem with his back. He said, yeah. So he said, second thing is because he was born, he's... some part of his spine did not develop, it didn't hook in, so he has to do that. And the same thing this guy said about himself, the same thing about his wife. This guy identified the exact problem just looking at the eyes. So the Sheikh also got different ways of looking at people in different ways. Allah alone knows, he's given them different insight and foresight, and they can see the heart of a person, and then they give them total treatment, inshallah. So let's carry on with our zikr. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. أفضل الذكر فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah, 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 Allah,
العالمين والعاقبة المتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. أستغفر الله، أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقوى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم استر عوراتنا وأمن روعاتنا. اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن يميننا وعن شمالنا ومن فوقنا ومن تحتنا يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا الله. We ask you, Ya Allah, to forgive all our sins, purify us from sins, purify us from all evil habits, evil qualities, and all the bad akhlaq and the evil akhlaq. Ya Allah, we ask you to send down your special, special mercy on the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the people that are present in our gathering, and our mothers and sisters at home. Those that are present, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant them special, special ease and every kind of blessing, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Those who got difficulty, we ask you to remove their difficulties. Those who got illness, we ask you to grant them shifa. Those who got disputes, we ask you to solve out their disputes amicably. Ya Allah, those who have got other kind of conditions and they are making ilaj and they are making treatment, we ask you to grant them total shifa. And that those who are in hospitals, we ask you to grant them shifa. Ya Allah, we ask you to send them your special mercy in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wherever they are. Ya Allah, we ask you to bring peace and protection on the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whichever parts of the world they are. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us all the things Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked and save us from the things Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked to be safe from. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun alal mursalin. Alhamdulillah.